Romans chapter 12. This is our last Wednesday night service before our missions month. If you didn't notice, next week is October. We had fall that started Monday. And I think we welcomed it by 100 degree weather in Reading. That is fall in Reading, if you're not from here, or welcome. we start missions month next week. It's October the 1st, next Wednesday. We'll have 5 Wednesdays and 5 missionaries through that month. And so we'll have our teen class in here, our King's Kids, and everyone in here together. So we look forward to that. Romans chapter 12, we'll finish tonight on this series about spiritual gifts. And looking at this in Romans 12, verse number 4, would you follow along as we read tonight? Romans 12, verse number 4, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." And let's pray as we begin tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the night. Help, Lord, as we open up your word, that you would speak to hearts and help us, Lord, to challenge us in our lives and to strengthen in this area about the spiritual gifts, Lord, that you have given, Lord, and used to help to perform your work. I pray you'd just open our hearts and minds and help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage here, we look as God has given us gifts differing one from another that God has given to you. And you might think, well, maybe God missed me on that day. Maybe God didn't gift me. He's gifted everyone else. I think sometimes we think that. Oh, God has given them the gift and God has helped them, but not me. But God has given you a gift to be used for His purpose, for His will. And as God uses these gifts, every gift is to point others to Jesus Christ. Not for personal gain, not for self-promotion, not to look at me, but to point others to the Lord and to fulfill God's will. And God's purpose is to tell other people about Jesus Christ and to point other people to the cross. So we've looked at this for a few weeks. Do you know the spiritual gifts that God has given to you? There's some strengths and weaknesses that may come that maybe others pair with others better than another. Maybe it's something that God has used for you to help in others' lives. Again, not for the purpose of saying, oh, I have such great gifts that I can use and, you know, I'm a blessing to the Lord. Yes, you're a blessing. But we should not do that with a prideful spirit and to make, you know, to try to make it sound like we are God's gift to this world, but that we can humbly use it for God's purpose and God's will. We'll recap in the end and go over some application, and I believe maybe an area to identify the gifts that God has given to you. As I have read and studied through this over the last few weeks, I feel like, you know, that God has given me some strengths in certain areas, and some maybe not as much as others, but maybe some that maybe doesn't seem to be as predominant. I believe that when God has gifted you, that God has gifted you in areas that you're inclined to be have some strengths, but also areas where we can grow. There is no Christian that has arrived that doesn't need to grow in their walk with the Lord, to develop ways to teach or to witness or to help or encourage others. We can all work at developing those more to use it for the Lord's purpose and God's will. So now we're going to look at the last one and then make some application in the end. And the Bible says in the end of verse number 8, "He that showeth mercy," it says, "with cheerfulness." We'll look at the gift of mercy tonight, the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy can be similar to the gift of an encourager, the exhorter, of someone that's trying to help and lift others up. But that gift of mercy is defined as having or exercising mercy, compassionate, tender, disposed to pity offenders and to forgive their offenses. Someone that is trying to help, someone that has fallen, someone that's been hurt, someone that's been that has failed maybe, and God is using that person to help to lift others up. I'd like to look at a few passages in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Would you turn there for a moment? we'll turn to three passages that the Bible talks about the merciful, or about being merciful or having mercy. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 7, as we look at this passage here, Matthew 5, 7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is kind of opposite to those that are judging and looking for faults in others. You know, with what judgment you give, you'll be judged with that in return. Similar in the opposite sense for mercy, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Those that are quick to judge are going to be quick to be judged themselves. You ever notice that some that pick on others aren't really good at being picked on themselves? They like to mess with others, but when you mess with them, they're like, "Hey, back off." You're like, "Whoa, I thought this was like an open, this was open season." And if you're quick to judge, you're going to be quick to be judged in return. But those that are merciful, the Bible says, for they shall obtain mercy. If we're willing to forgive, that's a character trait we'll look at of mercy. If we're quick to forgive others, others will be more inclined and quick to forgive us. But when we're harsh with our judgment, well, that's going to be same return back to us. So those that are merciful, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Turn to Luke 6:36, please. Luke 6 and verse number 36. Just a couple of books over. Luke 6 and verse number 36, another short verse here. But it says this, kind of similar to the previous verse we read, but it says, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." We learn this that every gift that God has given to us is a character trait, if you will, that Jesus Christ has exemplified. That Jesus has shown that if anyone is a great teacher, well, Jesus is the greatest teacher. Right? If anyone is an encourager, Jesus is the greatest encourager. If anyone was great at showing mercy, well, Jesus was great at showing mercy. And it says, "Be ye therefore merciful, but then also as your Father also is merciful." Some people are not quick to give mercy to others, but they want mercy in return. And I'm thankful that we have a God that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is God's mercy that He shows to us. Turn lastly to James chapter 2 and verse number 13. And this is kind of similar to that. The opposite of mercy is having judgment. And in James chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." So we see that judgment is really that opposite side of mercy. Has God gifted you with that gift of mercy? Mercy is more than just feeling sorry for others. I've felt sorry for people that were on the side of the road changing their tire, but I've not stopped for a whole lot of those to help them change the tire. You understand what I mean? Oh, I feel bad for them. They're changing their tire in the rain, and I wish someone would help them as you drive by. You may not have the gift of mercy. You know, you might be thinking, "Well, what did you do wrong?" You know, you should have checked that beforehand. I have a good illustration. Should I say it? You know what I'm thinking, don't you? We were on our missions trip to Alaska, and we were loaned two cars to use. We picked up at the airport. They told us where they were, and I was driving one vehicle, and Miss Locke was driving the other vehicle. And as we started going, we were driving an old Chevy Suburban that I think had 250,000 miles on it. And that's the car they lent us to use. And it got us through the trip, mostly. As we're driving, the ladies in the car behind us say, "I think your tire looks low." And we stopped, and we're like, "It's fine. It's good. Not a big deal." It lasted until the end of the trip, till we were driving back to the airport. And the tire blows out. We have no cell phone signal on a deserted road. There's not many people driving by. And we were stuck. And we were just praying for someone to show us mercy. We were trying to change the tire. I'm checking the time, and I'm thinking, it's going to be close to get our flight. And then it was like, we're about to miss our flight. It got to the point where if we don't get this tire changed in 2 minutes, we will miss our flight. That's a guarantee. We were like 2 hours away still. And thankfully, a man was in the parking lot that he helped us to figure out, we couldn't lower the tire out from underneath. We got it changed. We got on the road. We sped there. We made it. The Lord had mercy on us. The gift of mercy, again, is the opposite of the gift of a prophet or a prophecy. Let's put it this way. Someone's dog dies, right? Their dog dies, and maybe that kid in your class says, would you pray for my dog or my cat? That one's even harder. But my dog or my cat died. And the prophet says, just buy a new dog. Get a new dog. Get a new cat. Who cares? You can get another one. Name it the same. Not a big deal. The merciful sympathizes with the child. And they help to bury the dog and plan a memorial service for it and maybe write the kid a note because you're sorry that their dog died. Maybe you get what side you would be more inclined to be on for one or the other. The gift of mercy. We'll go over a few strengths, possible strengths of someone that has a gift of mercy that could apply. Number one, the gift of mercy, a strength, might be a comforter. When you're going through a difficult time, you'd want someone that has a gift of mercy by your side. You could have that encourager as well, and again, some of those could relate. But the merciful, they hurt when others hurt. The merciful might be the one that when you cry, they cry. Or the other way around. When they're crying, you're crying. You're there, that gift of mercy. If it hurts to someone, it hurts to you. You're that comforter. And the person that they might call and say, I'm having a tough time in this, and they call you and you can just console them and comfort them, just to sit with them and to help them. A comforter. Number two, a possible strength of someone that has a gift of mercy, I do believe this for sure, is a forgiver. Someone that is willing and quick to forgive. When someone else has fallen, then you are merciful and you accept the forgiveness and welcome them back. Understand this, that we've all fallen. We've all failed, we've all been hurt, and we have all needed mercy, haven't we? Amen, right? We've all needed mercy. And if everyone held us to the standard of perfection, then none of us would survive. But I'm thankful for those that are merciful and say, you failed, but let me help you. Let's help figure out the path to get healed, the path to get right with God, quick to forgive. Again, the ultimate example is Jesus Christ. And when he's on the cross, as he's been nailed and ridiculed and spat upon and rejected, Jesus Christ looked out and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Such mercy. Mercy beyond explanation. And what a great forgiver that our Savior is. We don't deserve forgiveness, do we? None of us. And so understand that merciful is quick to forgive. They're quick and merciful. You've asked for forgiveness before, I'll give it again, and I'll give it again, I'll give it again. The opposite of that is someone that's not quick to forgive. I think of Peter, the Apostle Peter. How often do I have to forgive my brother? Right? Do I have to forgive again? He probably did not have the gift of mercy. Do I have to forgive it? How many times? Peter might have been the one to keep tallies. He might have been the one to keep track. You did it again, and you did it again, and you did it again. The merciful says, I forgive you. I've forgiven. I'm not holding a grudge. We're not trying to get even. I forgive. They're a forgiver. Possible strength of someone with a gift of mercy, they love the unlovable. They love the unlovable. Maybe it might be those that love working on the bus routes. You're helping the kids that, you know, they might be kind of forgotten and no one's caring for them, and you just have a tender heart for that one that's just been neglected, rejected, no one cares for them, and someone that might love the unlovable, someone that would love and help the homeless, the poor, the neglected child. Just your heart goes out to them, you know, to where the person that has judgment might see the sign. I've seen more signs lately for people begging money that says, why lie, I want beer. And I can't believe anyone actually reaches out the window and gives them money to help. I don't understand that at all, right? But the prophet goes, I'm not giving, you put yourself in this position. The merciful, I need to help them. I can't help to give them a meal, to give them some money to help them. And so loving the unlovable. And again, Jesus Christ, God the Father, looks down and he loves the unlovable. a gift, a possible strength of someone that has a gift of mercy is someone that's humble. They're humble. They're not too high and prideful to help anybody. They're not too important or too busy to go and help somebody in need. They're merciful. Humility is helping someone in need. Maybe another strength of someone that has the gift of mercy is a listener. Just willing to listen, just to pay attention, to watch others that have a need. Some possible strengths of someone that has a gift of mercy. Some possible weaknesses is someone that can struggle to be firm. You know, that prophet, again, contrasting, I think, helps to understand the gift of mercy, where the prophet says, forget it. You failed once, you're done. You're out. You know, you're fired, you're kicked out of school. I'm not talking to you again. But the merciful might forgive to a fault. I would say this, to maybe put someone in danger. Maybe to not help the person that has failed, to learn that there's a line you cross and that you've got to get things right before you come back, things of that nature, but may struggle to be firm. Someone that has a gift of mercy might be that parent that has a hard time saying no. The kid can stay up as late as they want because you can't send them to bed. They can eat all the sweets they want because you can't say no. And they're just going to give and have mercy. And, you know, you can have another chance and you have another chance and you have another chance and may have a hard time being firm. Here's the rule. Here's where it's been broken. And here's the correction needed for that. Another weakness maybe can restore too soon. Again, kind of similar to the previous one, but might restore someone too soon. To where you said, well, they said, I'm sorry. And others might go, I'm not really sure if there's anything that's changed in their life. But the merciful says, I forgive. I forgive. I've forgiven, but may could restore too soon. The merciful people want to help everyone, even when they keep falling to sin. And they might be inclined to accept an insincere apology. Now, again, the other side is, you know, I have not seen all the fruits of repentance from you. And the merciful says, I forgive you. Just come back. And might be inclined to restore too soon. Someone that has a gift of mercy could be led by emotions. You know, just believing every story that everyone says. You might be the one that you see the commercial with the all the pets that need to be adopted. And you want to adopt every pet out there and bring them all to your home. You hear those stories of people that have like 75 cats in their home and like 100 birds and all this. It's like, I'm sorry, but someone's got to say no, all right? Someone says no. The merciful could be led by emotions. Might be more led by feelings and emotions than by fact and truth. Might be more led by emotions and feelings than by fact and truth. And might just be, you know, have that bleeding heart that you want to just give and help everyone and give it all away. Emotions are a good thing, but we should not be led by emotions to rule our lives. We should be led by the Spirit, and there's definitely a leading of God's Spirit that we need to follow, but could be led more by emotions. Some Bible examples that you'd see of those that would have the gift of mercy, I believe, would be John the Beloved. John the Beloved, the disciple, was the only disciple, apostle, to be at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. John and a couple of ladies there as well. But John the Beloved, you had the 12 disciples, and then you had the inner three, but then you had John the Beloved. And he was the one by Jesus at his time of need when he was being crucified. He was the one there. And when Jesus looked across, he saw John, and he said, John, behold thy mother, and told Mary to behold her son. And I believe that would show that he was a comforting spirit of being faithful and staying with Jesus when all else had fled, that John stayed. I think of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, when the man, as Jesus gave the parable of the man that was left for dead on the side of the road, he was beaten and he was stripped of his clothes and he was robbed of everything. And you had the priest and the Levite that walked by, and when they saw him, they went to the other side. Not so much of the gift of mercy. And then you see the Samaritan man when he comes by and he sees that man on the side of the road, and what does he do? He stops and he gives him his all, doesn't he? He puts some clothes on him, he wraps up his wounds, he puts him on his beast. He walks him to the inn, he pays his fare, and says, I'll come back and check on him and pay any fares that he has afterwards. That's a merciful person, isn't it? Someone that says, I'm going to help you where you are, and I'm going to help you to where you need to get. What mercy. Others may say, they don't deserve it. They put themselves there. Well, again, someone has reached out a hand of mercy to us when we maybe didn't deserve it, hadn't asked for it, and someone helped us to get back on the right track in our lives as well. What about Jesus when he was presented with a situation with the Pharisees when they found the woman caught in the act of adultery and they were trying to catch Jesus and they had the stones ready to stone her for adultery, and that's what she had deserved according to Old Testament law. And what did Jesus do? He said, let him that be perfect cast the first stone. Jesus was not excusing sin. Understand? He was not excusing sin and saying it was okay. But all of those one by one left. But then he turned to the woman and said, go and sin no more. He had mercy on her when he could have had judgment. Every gift that we have, I believe, should be developed to be drawn closer to Christ's example in a biblical pattern. And merciful can be too merciful, but there is definitely a place for mercy. You know, if you're that all judgment and you're like, no matter what, every time it's judgment, that can be pretty harsh. I'm thankful for times where I did not deserve mercy, but I was shown mercy. Amen. I want to give you some truths tonight, and we kind of there were 7 points that went over one of them tonight, but I want to give you a picture here to show you, Brother Crocker, when you get a second, or Brother Schwerin, who the man behind the wall somewhere. But I want to show you a picture here that I believe can be a help to understanding maybe what is a gift that God has given to you. I want to give you a bit of an illustration. You might drop in the back lights for us if you can do that. I want you to picture this. Picture someone lying in a hospital bed right here and a cartoon character here, of course. Imagine that this man was in a car accident for breaking the law. Let's say he was speeding. Maybe he was drinking. He had made some foolish decisions, and maybe you go to visit him. Maybe it was a family member, maybe a friend, someone that you went to go and see, and you knew the situation, but he's laying in a hospital bed for some decisions that he had made. What would be your first and natural response of what you would say to him? I want to go through a few scenarios with the points that we covered about the gifts that we covered from Romans chapter 12. There are other passages in Scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. We're covering the ones listed here. But I want you to think about this and maybe what might be your response to these. And to me, it kind of varies. I'm like, man, I feel like that God has gifted me in some areas, but other areas maybe not as much or maybe not as strong as I would think. Number one, the prophet might say this, and apply this to yourself. The prophet might say, what were you thinking? You know better to drive that fast. I've talked to you about your drinking before. You know how that curve goes around there. You're lucky to be alive. The prophet. They probably need to hear that. They probably need to hear that. All right? Maybe God's giving them that moment, that wake-up moment. Get right. This is your last chance. They need to hear the truth in love. Right? And it may not need to be so harsh in this moment. At times it may be that God gives you some discernment and some wisdom in that area. But the prophet's going to lay out the truth. The prophet's going to give black and white. Here's what you did. Here's what could have happened. And look at where you are now. That's where the prophet, maybe God has gifted you in that area. Number two, the teacher. The teacher may come in and say, I have researched your broken bones and your condition, and you'll heal in 4 to 6 weeks. Look at the report that I found on Google of a similar experience of what happened to somebody else, and I calculated how fast you were driving, and they're going to break down the whole situation, and I'm going to teach you something from this. I'm going to help you to learn exactly what happened, why it happened, and try to help you. That's what the teacher may do. And they're gonna teach them in this lesson, maybe not quite like the prophet, but give some insight into the situation. Thirdly, the servant may come in, maybe this is you, and they may come in and say this: you can come and heal up at my house when you're done. You, maybe they totaled their car, maybe they're not, they can't. So you can come and stay at my house. I'm gonna help you. I'll bring you dinner tonight. Can I help you adjust your pillow? Do you need anything to drink? And they're coming in. How can I serve? They look like they're in pain. What can I do to help you? Can I fix the straw in your cup? Can I fix your pillow a little bit? Can I get a doctor, a nurse? Can I serve you in some way? They're looking to just come and be a servant and be a help. Next, you have the encourager maybe that comes in. Maybe this is you. And the encourager says, I'll come in every day and sit with you and pray with you. I'm just going to sit by your side. If you're here, I'm here with you. And the encourager maybe has the faith to say, God's going to help you. You've learned what you need to learn. And let's get back on the right track now. The encourager might say, you have a beautiful view out your window. Try to uplift the spirits. Can I turn on? Can I change the channel? Can I just encourage you in some way? Can I pray with you? They're going to kind of point it back to, let's have faith. Let's encourage. Let's strengthen and try to point back in the right direction. Maybe that administrator, the ruler, comes in and says, I already got the doctors. The doctors are coming in. I've already talked to them. You got their names. I've read your report. I don't know if you're not allowed to do that, I don't believe. I've already arranged meals for you when you go back home. And we've arranged how you're going to get in and out of the house. And they've figured everything out. Whether or not you want it done, they figured it out for you. And they're there to take charge. And a little different from a servant where they're just kind of coming to help, or the administrator, they've lined everyone up to help to get the situation fixed. And they've got everyone on board. Again, need it or not, they're there to help you. The giver comes in and says, how can I pay for your bills? This must cost a lot of money. You wrecked the car. Maybe you lost your job in the meantime. And they said, I'm going to help you. Maybe you send a card, put some money in there. You know, can I help pay for your bills? Maybe the giver says, I set up a GoFundMe account for your expenses. By the way, I feel like GoFundMe is a little bit overused by some. And be careful what you're giving for and who you're giving to. Just know what you're doing, all right? Be wise with that. I'm not saying don't give, but again, I might be on the other side of the giver there, a little more skeptical. I don't know. But I set up a GoFundMe account to help pay for that, which is an offering in our class. We're going to help pay for your needs. I just want to give. That's how they help. May not stay long, but I'm going to help. I'm going to give, and I'm going to help with your needs. The merciful may come in and say, I'm so sorry. How do you feel? And they come in just ready to weep and hold your hands and cry on your shoulder. You must be in so much pain. It wasn't your fault. I know you didn't mean to do it. And they're there just to cry and just to help them and to be merciful. With saying that, how many of you feel like I have an idea what my first or predominant response might be? Anyone have an idea? You think, I feel like I know what my response might be to that. Every one of those are needed, right? In the right time, in the right way, they're needed. And God uses you in different areas where I might have a strength you may not, and the other way around. But what has God gifted you to help others, to point people to Christ? How has God gifted you to help to point someone to salvation, to draw closer to the Lord, to help them? Are you using the gifts that God has given to you to help someone else in need to fulfill God's purpose? A wise and a spiritual person knows what to say, when to say it, what to do, and when not to do it, okay? If you say, this is my strength, you're going to listen to it either way. There needs to be a time where we don't say something that we would like to say. Maybe there's an appropriate time and a manner for it. You understand the situations. When you walk and you're like, I want to say something, but I know I shouldn't say it right now. You understand? And so have some wisdom about that. Just say, this is who I am, and just deal with it. Okay, have some understanding. Be Holy Spirit-led with that. Know this, though, that Jesus Christ gave us a perfect example to follow. Maybe you say, I have a strength or a gift in this area, but not as much in this area. Well, I can grow in my strengths or my gifts maybe, but I can also grow in the areas where I maybe not be gifted or maybe not have a strength to be more like Jesus Christ. Think about this for a minute. Jesus gave us a perfect example to follow. He preached the truth boldly, didn't he? He preached it boldly. He preached to those Pharisees, Sadducees, and he would nail them to the wall preaching. He'd preach the truth hard. He was also a great teacher, incredible teacher with parables and truths and illustrations and things, incredible teacher. Jesus Christ gave to those in need. He was merciful. When the disciples would say, send them away. They're just here to get food. And Jesus was merciful. He said, no, let's feed them. Who has a lunch here? Let's take care of the people in need. It was a beggar. It was a child, maybe. It was maybe a funeral procession. And Jesus Christ had mercy. And he helped others. He served others. Jesus Christ would get on his knees and he would wash the feet of the disciples. What a servant. What an example to follow. Jesus was a great leader where he called the disciples to follow him. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. They left all immediately to follow Jesus Christ. He was a great leader. Jesus Christ, he lifted up the brokenhearted, those that were hurting. When Lazarus was in the grave and he went there and saw their sorrow, he wept. Jesus Christ was an example for all of us to follow. We may say, I don't have a strength in that area. Well, we can grow in our strengths to be used for God's purpose. Maybe a scenario like this comes and you say, God, what should my response be? God, what should I say? And God, what should I do? And I believe that God will direct you in those areas. Whatever it is that God has gifted you in or directed you with, follow God's pattern, what Jesus would do, what God is directing you to do to fulfill his purpose and his plan. And I believe that when we fulfill God's plan for our lives, we're used more for his purpose, but also we can point other people back to Christ. We can help others. We can do more as a church, as a family, as a boss, or as an employee maybe, that God uses you in the role that God has given to you and your home and your church and your family. I pray that be a help to you. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this night. I pray you bless the message. I pray in some way.